You're not talking to somebody who's judging you. You're talking to somebody who's walked the walk already. Do you shrink when money conversations are being had? You know you shouldn't have purchased that handbag. You are stressed when you're spending money. Do you feel shame of not making enough money? Money is energy. You'll never hear me joke about being broke. Command money, keep money. Just figure out how to make more money. The money is spent before you ever even get the deposit notification in your account. This is not judgment. This is love. I love you enough to be fully transparent with you. Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, your favorite business coach and podcast host. And today, I want to talk to you about money. And I want to help you understand why your money looks the way your money looks. And this conversation might not be what you think it is. I taught this lesson. We're in a money series inside of my community, Actionable CEO. And we are spending several weeks going over the psychology of money, your relationship with money, how to attract money, how to earn money, how to keep money, how to command money to do what you want your money to do. And I want to talk right now with you about money, because building your business as an entrepreneur is not just about money. And the money series that I'm in inside of my community, Actionable CEO, is also not just about money, but it's to teach you why you treat money the way you do, why you're either so loose with it or so tight with it, how to attract wealth and legacy and all the things with intention and joy. And we are getting this information inspired by one of my now favorite books, Happy Money by Ken Honda. Ken Honda is an author who wrote a book about the way Japanese people attract money and deal with money and how they think about money. And I thought this was right on time as I recently came back from Tokyo, Japan, and I admired everything about the culture, at least the parts that I was introduced to. The people in Japan operate with a standard of excellence. They walk around very intentional, incredibly joyful. They are happy to serve you. They are happy to provide a service to you. And you can tell, you can see the pride in how they take care of their surroundings, right? You don't see trash on the street in Japan. You don't smell that trash street when you're walking through their city and their downtown or their uptown. It was just really beautiful. So this was right on time. And it led me to want to have this money series with you. And the first question that I have for you right now is, what is your earliest memory of money? What is your earliest memory? Think all the way back to your childhood. What is your earliest memory with money? And then how does that make you feel? So as a child, you may have heard all the time, you may remember your parents saying, when we walk into the store, don't ask me for a thing. You may remember your parents saying things like, I don't have it, I can't afford it, not right now, right? Or maybe you grew up and money was not an issue in your family and you heard your parents saying, hey, whatever you want, you can have it. Here's the money to go get it. Maybe your first memory of money is attached to the allowance that you used to make. Maybe you had to work really, really hard for money, or maybe you had to ask for money and it was easily given to you. What's your very first relationship with money and how does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? And this is an incredible thing to This is an incredible thought to meditate on, to really think about, because it will help you identify your emotional attachment style to money. Oftentimes, your relationship with money isn't even founded upon what you necessarily believe about money, but it started with what your parents may have taught you about money, what your guardians, your uncles, your cousins, your teachers, whoever may have taught you about money. And this is a real thing. How do you feel when money comes in? When you get money, do you feel really, really excited about it? Or do you feel like the money is spent before you ever even get the deposit notification in your account? How do you feel when money goes out? When you have to pay bills, are you anxious about it? When you have to spend money, are you worried about where more money is going to come from? There's an attachment style to money that some of us have, that all of us have. We all have an attachment style to money, and it's one of these three things. The first attachment style is going to be avoidant. And this is going to be a powerful breakthrough for you because you will understand how you treat money And hopefully you'll be able to reshape your mindset or reframe your mindset around money. So the first of the three attachment styles around money is going to be your avoidance style. If you have an avoidance style, how do you know that you have the avoidance style? Number one, you may avoid looking at anything related to your finances. You don't look at your bank account. The bank statements come in the mail. You don't open them up. You kind of stash them away in a junk drawer, or you throw them away altogether. You're not looking at your credit card statements or bank statements. Maybe you don't even pay the bill when it comes until you get that text message with the threat, right? The threat that your whatever is about to be cut off. You don't talk about money. When people around you are talking about money, you shrink. You might move out of the conversation. You'll pretend to take a phone call. You don't discuss money in your household. You don't discuss money with your significant other. In fact, you are avoiding it at all costs. That means that you have an avoidant style with money, avoidant attachment style. The second attachment style with money is an anxious attachment style. This is the person that's the quite opposite of the avoidant attachment style. The anxious attachment style is a person that's constantly checking. You are looking at your bank account statement multiple times a day. You're looking at those credit card statements multiple times a day. You're stressed out when you're spending this money. You are stressed when you're spending money. You believe that you might say something like, when it rains, it pours. If an emergency expense comes up for you, you are panicking about spending this money because you are so anxious around the conversation of money. And then the third attachment style is secure. You feel calm. You feel in control. You feel in control of the inward of the inbound flow of money, and you feel in control of your outbound flow of money, meaning you don't get anxious. You're not avoiding it. You speak about money comfortably. You're doing well for yourself, but you're comfortable making money with the amount of money that you're making, and you're also comfortable when you are spending the money. Okay, you feel okay with it. And we want to move away from the avoidant attachment style and the anxious attachment style. And we want to grow into men and women and entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders who are living in their secure attachment style around money. Y'all, I can remember a time where I didn't open the mail. I didn't even check the mail. I'm not checking the mail because it's just another bill. It's a mailbox full of bills. And I'm living check to check, and I don't have the money to pay these things. I don't have the money to do what they're asking me to do anyway. And I would avoid money. And what would happen is you keep going over and over and over with this avoidant or anxious attachment style. And ultimately, you end up in a situation where it's pretty irreparable. It's tough to repair your financial situation without scrapping everything and starting all over. Your money story usually comes from your childhood. Can you think about a money conversation that your parents had with you? I wasn't taught anything about money until I was old enough to get a savings account. I remember my mom taking me to the bank to get my very first savings account, and I believe I put like $10 in it. It had to be my allowance, right? It had to be my allowance money. And every single week, I would go to the bank and deposit $5 or $10, that became our thing. And so I grew up believing that the best practice with money was to save it. The best practice with money was to save it. And so you're depositing the money, and then I'm checking my balance. I'm waiting for that balance statement to come into the mail. I'm checking it because I want to see my account increase by the $5 or $10 or $20 every single month. Can anybody relate to that? Zell, can you relate to that? Like when you first got your first bank account, you wanted to make deposits. Like, let me put all my little cash and take it to the bank because I want to see this balance grow and grow and grow. And that's because that's what I was taught to do. I was taught that you earn money, you take the money that you earn and you put it in your bank account for safekeeping, or you put it in your bank account for a rainy day, right? I wasn't really taught how to spend money correctly. So when I went off to college and now I'm getting all these credit cards, y'all know the credit cards that we're talking about. You know the credit cards we're talking about. I didn't realize, honestly, I had no clue. I thought you applied and qualified for like money as a gift. I didn't realize that you had to pay this stuff back. And that's because I grew up in a household where serious money matters was not a child's place. Serious money matters were not a child's place. I wasn't allowed to sit at the dinner table while my mom and my dad were talking about money and finances. I wasn't allowed to see the stress that they experienced behind money. All I knew was that I had what I needed, and when serious conversations needed to be had, it wasn't a child's place. It wasn't a child's place. And my goal here today is to help you identify your money style. So if you are a parent, or if you are a mentor, or if you're someone who's an adult and you just want healthy money attachment styles, you are able to reframe your thoughts about money right away. Congratulations, entrepreneur. You made the decision that this will be your biggest and best year ever in business. And I am so excited for you. It's just that you're missing something. The accountability and the mentorship that you said you need, the accountability and the mentorship that you said you were gonna get this year, I know you're missing it because I'm not mentoring you inside of my community, Actionable CEO. I see everybody else. I'm looking through the names as I speak right now, and I'm seeing all the names, but I don't see yours. See, Actionable CEOs have something in common. They have three things in common, in fact. They are disciplined. They are action takers. They invest in themselves. But my favorite one is that they are action takers. Oh, wait, no. My favorite one could be that they're disciplined. It could also very much be that they invest in themselves. See, you can't do one without the other if you want major results. So I'm inviting you to check out my community, my mentorship community for entrepreneurs who are interested in personal development, professional development, and financial development. And you want to have a whole lot of fun connecting with other people in the community to network with. If I'm your girl, if I'm your person, if I'm your vibe, check out actionableceo.com right now to see if my mentorship community is the right one for you. In fact, I know it is. So just go there and hit register, join now, whatever. I'll see you on the inside. Bye. Was money tight for you growing up in your childhood? Was spending a source of shame or stress? Did you grow up in an environment where maybe you or a parent or whoever was spending money around you would swipe the card and hope that it goes through? I know I'm not the only one, Zell. I know I am not the only one that has swiped my bank account card a time or two. And it wasn't that long ago that I swiped that card and you're sitting back and you're just waiting. Don't let that machine make that funny little beep sound. Oh my God. The embarrassment, the guilt, the shame of it all. Common inherited beliefs that we have as adults now that we inherited from our parents are things like, we can't afford that. That's too expensive. Money doesn't grow on trees. Rich people are greedy. People who make a lot of money are doing something wrong. What's a money belief that you were taught? You heard your parents say it over and over and over again, or you may have heard your teachers or your mentors, whoever, say it over and over and over again, and you grew up saying it too. I know I have a lot of friends who say things like, money don't grow on trees, but money is a paper product. Where do we get paper from, right? I have a lot of people who, I know a lot of people who believe that if you make a lot of money, you must be doing something illegal to acquire that amount of money, right? They'll judge you. I remember being at a friend's house, and I was at a friend's house with her parents. We had to be like in our late 20s at the time. And her new boyfriend and his friend were picking us up to take us to the movies. And he pulled up, Zell, in a Mercedes. And her dad looked out the window, and his first comment was, he not out there selling drugs, is he? He not out there selling drugs, is he? It couldn't be that he acquired a high income skill set that allowed him to make money. He was an entrepreneur. He was building a business. And at that time, he was building a business in the trucking industry. And he was incredibly successful and still is incredibly successful today. But the very first thought when her dad saw, if we were in our late 20s, so this guy may have been like 30 something. When he saw this 30 something year old man pull up in a Mercedes, he said, he ain't out there doing no drugs, is he? And that is such a common belief. And it has a lot to do with your own inhibitions around money. What money stories were normalized in your household growing up? Were you the kid who was always taught, don't touch anything in this store? And now you're the parent today who says and repeats the same thing. Who says and repeats the same thing? Because when you are traumatized, when you are taught, when you are programmed to believe a certain thing, a certain way, even if you don't want to, subconsciously, you're going to turn around and do the same thing to your children. It's like the cycle of if you were spanked as a child, yelled at as a child, you're going to probably turn around. Most people are going to turn around and do the same thing to their children unless they pick up a piece of information and they learn something new. And today, we are learning something new. We are learning something new. Because your financial, your money stories are impacting your financial decisions today. Are you a person right now who was taught to save money? And now when an investment opportunity comes in front of you, you're afraid to invest? You're afraid to invest? Are you a person that looks at every investment opportunity as a scam because your parents didn't understand the stock market back in the day? Because they didn't understand the risk versus reward concept where you have to risk a little bit in hopes to get a reward? You make strategic risks in order to get a reward back. Do you say things like, man, I can't afford that? Do you even joke like that? Zell, you'll never hear me joke about being broke. Even when I was, I'm not broke. You'll never hear me joke about being broke because this is programming your subconscious to follow suit. It, the one thing you want to do to stay broke or become broke is to claim broke. You'll never, ever, 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 ever hear me say that. There's some common money wounds that you may have experienced. Financial trauma, right? Maybe you have gone through an incredibly embarrassing story. Maybe like myself, you've experienced bankruptcy and foreclosures and repossessions, and it has you lacking confidence now around your money. And so you don't talk about money or because of that, for years after I experienced the foreclosures and the bankruptcies and the repossessions, for years, I held on to money so tightly. You couldn't get me to invest in a mentor. You couldn't get me to invest in the stock market or, you know, in the financial markets. You could not get me to do it because my mind was so deeply connected and rooted in the loss that I had experienced that made me feel like I was at my lowest of lows. But it's such a dangerous place to be in because if you don't ever free yourself from that anxious attachment style, how do you open yourself up to new opportunities that can help put you in a better financial space? Some of your financial behavior is directly connected to trauma that you've experienced before, but you have to free yourself of that. Some of your financial trauma is attached to shame. You're not making certain decisions because you feel shame of not making enough money, shame of being underpaid. This happens a lot with men, especially in the dating space. It happens a lot with men in the dating space. Men will flat out say, I'm not dating. Because they don't want a woman to ask them how financially sound they are. They don't want to have a conversation about money because they're significantly underpaid. It also happens with women in their friend groups. You will pull out. You won't show up. You don't go to the brunches. You don't do the things that your friends do because they are being paid their worth. And you feel significantly underpaid. You can't keep up. That's usually someone who is suffering from trying to live like the Joneses or wishing they could. Do you feel shame around money because you believe that you're not making enough? Do you shrink when money conversations are being had because you don't feel like you are being paid enough so you don't qualify to have that conversation? Sometimes your money trauma shows up. Here's one that's going to get you. In your overspending to feel valuable. You know you shouldn't have purchased that handbag. You know you really can't afford those luxurious extensions in your hair. You can't afford to buy another wig. You can't. You know you couldn't afford to fly first class, but because your friends are flying first class, you needed to overspend so you felt as valuable as you perceived them to be. Your money wounds are going to show up in your own habits, in your own traumas. Are you a person today who is overspending to maintain an image? The home that you live in, the car that you drive, but behind closed doors, you are privately struggling to keep up. I want you to free yourself from that today because if you don't free yourself from it, what happens is it's like when you tell that lie, Zell, you tell somebody a lie and you got to keep up with that same lie over and over and over again. You got to create like a whole story. It's believable now. You're nearly authoring a book around this lie. Once you tell that lie, well, once you begin to overspend, once you become known as the girl or the guy that only wears designer this and luxury that and drives this, you'll find it very difficult to go back. So I want you to free yourself from the mindset of you having to spend to keep up. If the circles that you are in are requiring that you overspend in order to feel valuable in their circles, exit the circle immediately. Exit the circle immediately. You should be around people who motivate you to do more, definitely. But if you feel like you don't belong, and if you're made to feel like you don't belong, unless you are overspending, eating out every single day when you know you can't do it, buying things all the time when you know you don't have the money to do it, you need to get out of that environment that makes you feel that way. Another money wound that you may be familiar with is guilt. The guilt around making more money than your friends and family.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I can't be the only one. I remember when I made my first seven figures, I was the only one besides David Shands in my friend group that made my own seven figures, like from my own idea. And prior to that, I was still doing well. And I have friends who were doing well. A lot of my friends in my friend group were doing well for themselves, right? But I was the first person to hit a seven-figure income. And so now some of the things that I enjoyed doing, I can do a little bit more. I can travel a little more. I can eat out a little more. I can shop a little more. I can, whatever it was, I can do a little more. And I remember, like, the first 2 years, David and I talked about this on a podcast. The first 2 years, I felt guilty for making more money. So I paid for everybody's everything. If we were going out to eat, the bill is on me. I'm racing to get the bill, or I've already told the waitress, hey, don't let anybody pay their bill. Here's my credit card. When the bill comes, just swipe it. I'm paying for everybody's travel. I'm doing all the things because my mindset was, well, what do I look like expecting them to pay for lunch when I make all this money, when I make significantly more money than them? I'm paying for all the things. And let me tell you what will happen. One, people will become entitled. You'll notice that fewer and fewer people even attempt to pull out their credit card or their debit card to contribute to that bill. So people will become entitled. And then the first time you have to say no, they'll become resentful. They'll begin to resent you because you said no, because that entitlement has kicked in. And ultimately, if you keep up a behavior pattern like that, you'll end up going broke. You'll end up going broke, and the same people that you did all of this for can't save you. And so I'm not saying don't do nice things for your friends and family. What I am saying is free yourself from the guilt of making more than the people around you. Free yourself from having more. I used to operate in a space where if I bought something, I had to buy something for my mom and my daughter, just as valuable, right? Just as valuable. And my daughter is not even into designer things the way that I am. My daughter would say, Ma, you can get me some jeans from Target, right? My daughter is like, I don't need the Dior sneakers, Ma. Steve Madden works just fine for me. But because I felt like, well, if I have it, she has to have it, I was overspending in areas for people who didn't even require what I was trying to do for them. Y'all, we gotta be smarter with our money. Let's talk about some beliefs that you have that's shaping your behavior around money. If you believe that that making money is hard, then making money will always be hard for you. You'll subconsciously block ease. If you believe that making money is hard, you will subconsciously block the ease of money coming to you. This is the thing. Now, it doesn't mean that you will never make money. You're just making it hard for money to find you. Money is energy. Money is energy. Money is energy. The way in which you earn money is also energy. You think I'm wrong? Well, think about a customer service rep, or think about a waiter or a waitress who serves you well. If their energy is top tier, you feel compelled to give them more what? Money, a larger tip. But if their energy is trash, you feel compelled to give them the bare minimum, if anything at all, because I know some of y'all don't be tipping. I know some of y'all don't be tipping. Money is energy. Money is energy. It flows to you and it flows through you. It's in the exchange market every single day, every minute of the day. Money is flowing. It's flowing rapidly or it's flowing slowly. It's flowing. Whether or not it's flowing to you depends on you. Hear me out. Money is flowing all day, every day. Whether or not it flows to you depends on you. And so if you believe that making money is hard, you've got to slave at it. You've got to be in sweat and blood and tears in order to make money, then that will be the life that you are creating for yourself. And you will subconsciously block the ease of making money from home or making digital money or making stock market money or being a day trader. You'll block the ease because when you believe that money is too hard, you automatically combat the easy ways to make it. You'll say things like, this looks too good to be true. This sounds too good to be true. But that's because you believe that making money should be hard. We've got to free ourselves from that today. We have to free ourselves from that thought right now today. If you believe that giving money away makes you vulnerable, oh, I ain't got it to give. I can't give to anybody. I don't have it myself. Then you'll cling to money and you will repel abundance. Our instruction from the word says that we are to be cheerful givers. That's our instruction. But if you have the mindset that if I give this, I'll do without. If I give to them, I won't have. It never really works that way, Zelle. I've never given someone who was less fortunate than me $10 that I suffered from later. I still managed to put gas in my car. I still managed to eat. I still managed to feed, clothe, and shelter my child. I have never given someone less fortunate than me an amount of money and then been strung out and set aside myself. It's just never happened. It's never happened. You truly reap what you sow. And so you have to be a cheerful giver, right? You have to be a cheerful giver. But these are all attached to our limited beliefs or limiting beliefs around money. We all have some limiting beliefs around money. Only selfish people get rich. She got rich because she never gives her money away. Oh, she's so tight with her money. They're so tight with their money, right? I have to work hard for money. That's another limiting belief. If I'm too generous, I'll get taken advantage of. That's another limiting belief. We have to shift our mindset to adapt to what we want to attract in our business, what we want to attract financially, right? I remember I remember when I was first introduced to the idea of investing. I didn't understand. Like, I was a person who said, okay, well, if I give you this $500 today, how soon before I get it back? That's the mindset, right? Which we all know is the wrong mindset to have around investing. But I was so used to losing money and getting some back and losing money and getting something back and losing money and getting something back, going deep into debt and getting something back, right? That my money mindset became, if I give money, I got to get something back immediately. And I missed out on so many opportunities over the years because I had the mindset of fast money now has to happen for me. I didn't understand slow money. It was undesirable. Slow money meant bad money. So I didn't understand investing for the long term. I didn't understand giving somebody money that I wouldn't be able to access for years at a time. But then when you study the trends of how wealthy people get wealthy, they don't have a bunch of money saved in the bank. They are giving their money instructions. When's the last time you gave your money instructions? When's the last time you received money and said, money, this is what you are going to do for me. Money, you are going, $100, you're going to multiply and you're going to become $1,000. When is the last time you told your money what to do? Have you put money to work for yourself? Have you put your money to work for yourself? Have you become a person who's a generous giver and a cheerful giver and understanding that you'll multiply your own wealth by doing so? Let's talk about some mindset habits for financial abundance. Mindset habits for financial abundance. One of my favorite things is generosity. I'm an extremely generous person. I love helping people. I love offering a hand. I am generous in my gift of knowledge and information, and I am generous with money, right? If you are someone who is in my circle and we are closely connected, I am never without information that's intended to help you level up in life, right? Generosity is a magnet. Let's leverage generosity as a magnet. Remember, I told you earlier that money is energy. When you give money, you create a flow. That exchange creates a flow. When you hoard money, you create resistance. When you give money generously, you create a flow. It always comes back full circle, always comes back. But when you hold on tightly and selfishly to your money, you're now creating resistance. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to go out and help somebody today. I want to challenge you to be intentional about going to those areas where homeless people are there just waiting, hoping and praying for a you to come by and give them their next hot meal for the day. I want to challenge you. I want you to think about that family member who is in desperate need. I want to challenge you to go out there and serve and help somebody today. It doesn't have to be a stranger. Maybe you've got a bunch of clothes in your closet that you hadn't worn in the last 2+ years, but somebody needs what you have and you can be generous. You are just hoarding and holding on to things. And let me tell you, let's use the clothes in the closet as a metaphor for what I am talking about. When you are hoarding these clothes and things that you have in abundance, you don't have room for the clothes that actually fit. Get rid of the clothes, let it go, let the clothes become flow and create abundance for you. You can't put more clothes in that closet until you get rid of the ones that you have in abundance and in excess that you can't fit or you'll never wear or do anything. You've outgrown those clothes. That's not even your style anymore. Go serve somebody today and give it away. No strings attached. But before you do that, I want you to ask yourself, when's the last time I helped somebody without expecting something back? When is the last time I helped someone without expecting anything in return? Was it today for you? Was it yesterday? Was it the day before? Can you not even recall the last time you helped someone without expecting them to pay you back or do something for you? Can you recall that? Who did I help today without expecting anything back? I believe that God has blessed me tremendously in my gifts and in my rewards because even when I don't have it, I have it to give. Even when I don't. I can't directly walk past a man or a woman that I can tell is really, really hungry. I can tell. They're not playing a game. I know you're really, really hungry. I can't walk by with $5 and see someone who is starving days away from maybe their last day because they hadn't had a good meal and not give them that $5. Because I know that I have food in my pantry. Even if that was my last $5, there's something to eat in my pantry when this man or this woman has fallen upon hard times and they just don't have it. I cannot see you suffering and I don't give it to you, but That's why God has blessed me tremendously. That's why every storm I have gone through, there was a rainbow and sunshine on the other side of it, because I don't worry about me so much. I know I might not want the can of corn in my pantry. I might not want those leftovers from 2 days ago, but this man is struggling and he could die today if he doesn't get a warm meal. This person has been eating out of the trash can for the last 2 weeks. Give them the $5. Go eat what you have at home. When's the last time you served from that type of heart posture? Every day. Every day. My philosophy has always been just make more money. Do what I need to do today and just go make more money. That's my mindset. I am not afraid to give because I believe that I'd be without. I don't look down upon people who have less than me. I look for ways to help level them up, ways to help elevate them. That's why money is attracted to me. That's why I attract money so easily. That's why money flows in every single day. Every single day. I have my phone right here that I keep looking at, and my Stripe notifications while I'm here teaching you about how to be a cheerful giver, teaching you about money is energy and money is flow and money in abundance and all these things. I've got Stripe notification and Stripe notification and Stripe notification going off right here. I don't worry about money. I worry about the woman that I am becoming, and that woman attracts abundance in all areas of her life. The second mindset habit, the first is generosity as a magnet. The second is gratitude for money. This one is a game changer. This one is a game changer, and it has been a game changer for me. You got to begin to thank money every single time it comes in. Every single time it comes in. When someone pays you the money that they owed you back, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to them, and thank you for God for making a way for you to receive money. When you see the notifications come in, when you see the notifications come in about the money that you made on your phone, entrepreneurs, thank you. Thank you. Whenever I am not working and I happen to see a Stripe notification come in, or somebody has made a deposit or sent a wire, I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that money. Thank you so much for that money. Yes, it's money that I earned. Yes, it's money that I'm going to work for, but I didn't have to be put in this position. I have been set apart. I have been put in this position because of this heart posture, because of this. Because I learned around 2010 that my money mindset had to be different. I had to learn something new. I had to learn something new about money. Around 2010 is when this journey for me to become this person that I am today and to have this mindset that I have around money, that's when it started for me. I had to do something different, because before I was a person that didn't have any kind of relationship with money. I wasn't scared. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't solid with it. It was nothing. I had no relationship with money. I would spend like crazy because I worked in commissioned environment, Zelle, and I would spend this money because I knew I would get it right back. I spend this money. I'm going to get it right back. Oh, I'll make this back by Friday. I had no relationship until that lack of relationship, that lack of knowledge and education led me to a place where I was at that time flat broke. And now I have an anxious attachment style and what will end up turning into an avoidant attachment style with money. But we know that the goal is to develop a secure attachment style with money. Gratitude. You must thank money when it comes in, but you also must thank money when it goes out. I am so grateful that I had the ability to pay my rent. I am so grateful. Like, one of my affirmations is that I have the ability to pay me, my mom, and my daughter's bills every single month on time and in full with ease. I have the ability to pay me, my mom, and my daughter's bills every single month on time, in full, and with ease. These are the kind of conversations that I have with myself about money. Instead of saying, oh my God, my overhead is X amount of thousands of dollars a month, I don't think about it like that. I think about, if this is my overhead, man, what position must I be in to have this type of overhead every single month? Every single month. I was talking to a guy friend of mine, and we were talking about dating, and he was asking me how I handle a situation where men could be not intimidated, but what's the word? Not worried or fearful, but they're kind of like, I don't know if I'm willing to pay those kind of bills. He said, do you ever think about your lifestyle being so expensive that it might deter a man from wanting to date you because that lifestyle is so expensive? I'm a team player, right? I'm not thinking about when I choose my home, I'm not thinking about what a man can do for me. When I choose my clothes, I'm not thinking about how it may offend or attract or repel a man away from me. I am just living my life. I'm also a reasonable woman, and I understand that there's a very small percentage of people, I believe it's still 1% of people who get to live. Hear me out. I'm grateful for everything. I understand that I get to live this life. I get to. And so I don't worry about things like that. We'll handle that when we get there. But as long as I know that I have the means to contribute and do what I have to do, I'm not worried. Money won't be the reason that I don't attract my guy. Money won't be the reason that a relationship is successful or unsuccessful for me. I don't have that type of attachment to money. It's energy. Thank money when it comes in. Thank money when it goes out. If you're out there and you get a flat tire, don't say, damn, when it rains, it pours. Nope. Thank you, God, that I have the money to fix this flat tire. It's just a flat tire. It has to get fixed or it has to get fixed. There are no options here. It has to get fixed, right? And then the third mindset habit is for you to become extremely curious about money. How can I generate more income? How can I generate more income? How can I generate more income, right? Get curious about new opportunities, new investments, new relationships, new collaborations, new offers. Get curious about ways that you can earn money or attract money that you hadn't even tried yet. Get curious about that. Get curious. You have to be curious about money. This is why it's so important to have mentors. It's so important to have mentors because ideally a mentor should be a person who's already walked the walk that you're on, right? They're ahead of you 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 steps. They're ahead of you. And so if this mentor is ahead of you and you admire them, you like something about them, they are the target, the vision for who you desire to be in X amount of time, then you should constantly be curious about the way that they do the things that they do. Get you a money mentor. Get you a money mentor, a person who is making money in a way that you admire and aspire for yourself. And then be deeply curious, extremely curious. How do they do that? How can I do that? Will this work for me? Let me see. But when people think about money, most people are thinking about debt, bills, lack, poverty. You're thinking about how to cut expenses. You're spending more time worrying about how to cut expenses than you are spending around how to just make more money. You're spending more time in your day worried about trying to figure out how to cut expenses when the answer is just figure out how to make more money. Sure, there are some expenses and some unnecessary things that you're spending money on, but you don't want your mindset and your energy focused on cutting. You want your mindset and your energy focused on multiplying. There may be some things that you have to cut out, but if you're spending all day like, where can I redline, cut corners, reduce, eliminate? That's the energy that you're putting out versus where can I acquire, multiply, increase, produce? There's a difference in the mindset. There's a difference in that mindset. I promise you. I promise you. I've been through these stages. So I'm not just telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I've done and what I've proven to be true. The days that I spent trying to rework the math, because $100 is going to be $100 either way. right? And so the days that I spent trying to stretch this $100 to do this and to do that and to do the other thing, you're not hearing from someone and saying, oh, it's easy for her to say that because she has money. You're talking to someone who years ago, was sharing Wendy's value meals with her daughter just to eat every day. The 99 cent menu. This is who you're talking to. You're talking to somebody who has experience on that side. You're talking to somebody who did have to worry about where their next meal is going to come from. I remember it like yesterday. Thank God at that time my daughter didn't like French fries, because all I had was enough money for us to get a 10-piece nugget, French fries, and a biggie drink. That's what I had, Zelle. It was like $4, because I think it was 99 cent for five, right? So it's like $4. Thank God my daughter didn't eat the fries, because at that time I knew she could finish seven of those nuggets and she's good. Seven nuggets when she was that small, she's good. So I got to eat the other three nuggets and the French fries, and we split the drink. You're talking to somebody who's been where you may be today or where you've been. You're not talking to somebody who's judging you. You're talking to somebody who's walked the walk already and who's gone through it and who's overcome and who's hit rock bottom and went all the way up and came back down and went up again. You're talking to somebody who understands what you're going through. You're talking to somebody who understands why you think what you think about money. This isn't judgment. This is love. This is not judgment. This is love. I love you enough to be fully transparent with you. I've loved you enough for the last 5 years to come onto a podcast, to be fully transparent and share my most shameful experiences, my most embarrassing experiences, because I love you enough to make sure that if my voice, if my experience, I already made it through it. So what harm does it do for me to share it with you? Sure, I could hold on to that embarrassment and that resentment. Sure, I could be selfish with what I know. But why go through it? Why go through it if I'm not going to use it? So I want you to hear me when I say it's your mindset first that's going to help you attract more money. Are you willing to shift your mindset? Are you willing to think differently? Are you willing to read the books? Pick up the book Happy Money by Ken Honda. Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki was the first book that I read that really made it plain and clear. He really did it first, as far as I know. His dad had poor money mindsets. His friend's dad had wealth money mindset. And he understood, I'd rather my life look like this than this. So this is the mindset that I'm going to adopt. And look at who he has become now. Look at who he is today. I don't say things like I can't afford it. I'll say I'm currently not allocating funds to that right now. I'm currently allocating funds elsewhere right now. You don't hear me say I'm broke. You don't hear me say I don't have it. You won't hear me say it's I don't have enough. You just won't hear me say those things. Because I am an abundant being. We were born. Abundance is your birthright. Abundance is your birthright. And so if I am born with abundance as my birthright, that's the journey that I'm going to be on. I'm not going to be around having conversations about what I don't have. Even when I didn't have it. And if I didn't have it right now, I'm not going to be using my valuable time talking to friends about what I don't have. I'm going to be using that time to sit in rooms and mastermind on how can I get it. What do you do when you're going to brunch? What do you do when you're on the phone? What do you do when you're talking to your guy friends, your girlfriends, whoever? Do you sit around and be like, man, shoot, this child support, man, is eating a brother up, man. It's da 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 da. I can't do nothing because I got to pay all this alimony and child support. Or, man, look, I got a lot of overhead. I'm responsible for a whole lot. I need some new ways. Help me think through some new ways to make more money. There's a difference in the mindset. There's a difference in the mindset. There's a difference in the mindset. But now you have to ask yourself, if you are willing to use a skill that maybe you don't love, if even just for a season, to help you generate more financial resources to contribute towards your purpose. See, there's some of you right now who are saying, I'm not going to make money that way. It's legal. It's ethical. You can do it. You just don't love it right now. And you'd rather sit in lack than to leverage a skill or a talent or a gift that you might have that can generate some money for you right now. Come on, like, what sense does that make? What sense does that make? There's something that you're sitting on right now that can open doors for you, that can create some financial room for you, some leverage, some financial leverage for you, but you're saying, I don't want to do that. I don't love it. I don't want to do it. And that's a dangerous mindset to have, because you don't have to stay stuck there. You don't have to do that forever. It's just for a season. It's just for a season. There's plenty of things that I've done that I didn't love to do, but I knew that it was a vehicle to get me to my next level. It's just a vehicle to get me to the next place, right? Your first money-making vehicle that provides you leverage or freedom doesn't have to be forever. It's just that. It's just a vehicle. It's a bridge. It's just a bridge. It's just a bridge. So, to wrap this up, I want us to think about, what's one belief that I need to release about money? What's one belief I need to release about money? Give me one. What's one belief that empowers my mindset around money? And then lastly, how can I add value or circulate abundance today? How can I add value or circulate abundance today? You guys, I hope you've learned something about your own money mindset and why you might be in the financial position that you're in, or why you may have the beliefs that you have about money, why maybe you're being held back, or maybe your mindset is already so strong and secure, and that explains exactly why you are living a life of abundance. Sometimes all we have to do is change our mind. And this is one of those times. Comment in the comments what your biggest takeaway was for you in this episode. As usual, if you are not a member of my community, my mentorship community for entrepreneurs who are seeking personal, financial, and professional development, you need to be. Go to actionableceo.com, actionableceo.com right now, at least at the time that you're watching this. I am giving you a 7-day free guest pass to join my mentorship community, where I teach lessons like this. We're doing a whole series about money right now. We're doing a whole series about money right now. All right. We're in a whole series. You just got a sneak peek. I won't be teaching this whole series on full transparency. You got to come and find me and join us over in the mentorship Actionable CEO. You get 7 days free. I look forward to seeing you there. Don't forget to go out and serve somebody today. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.